Welcome to the Eat and Elevate podcast. With I'm your host from coast to coast, coaching and collaborating, doing the most, chewing on topics guaranteed to feed, educate and motivate so you succeed. In spirit, soul, and body that supersedes all fears and doubts that the devil brings. And we post it weekly to meet your needs.
Welcome, family, to another episode. I wanted to talk about something a little different today. I just want to talk about what I believe. So this is what I believe. I believe that there is a heaven and a hell. They are real places. They're not some fictional, fantastical, made up, make-believe places, but they are real places. And in heaven, there is a there is God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and angels. Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us, those of us who believe. But God is sitting on the throne and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and who makes intercession for us. And in heaven, there are, angelic beings. There are our loved ones, the spirits of our loved ones and the souls of our loved ones who have gone on, who were in the faith, who believed in Jesus Christ, who made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. And when they close their eyes here in heaven, when they close their eyes here on earth, they went to heaven. Their spirit returned to the Father and their soul is in heaven. Heaven is, from what I understand, from what I've read, and from some eyewitness testimonies of individuals who have spoken on it, who have, gone to heaven and then came back into the earth, maybe had, near-death experiences or even a death experience, but then they came back into their body, is that heaven is everything in heaven is alive. There is nothing dead. So there is no sorrow. There is no one crying in heaven. We cry here on earth, but in heaven they rejoice. And so heaven is a very real place. But likewise, the counter to that is hell. Hell is a very real place. And that is a place that is set aside for the devil and the fallen angels that rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. That is their ultimate destination as well. And then as well as their, ancient spirits and things of that nature that are bound, that will be bound in the because when the Bible talks about hell, it talks about the grave, it talks about Sheol, it talks about the abyss, it talks about the lake of fire, it talks about the pit, so all of these different things. But I'm going to use that, I'm going to use all of those to talk about, to refer to hell as this, as an overarching umbrella for all of that. So hell is a real place. So a lot of times, people will say, why would God send people to hell? Well, God doesn't, God doesn't send anyone to hell other than the devil, because that's who it was created for. At the time in which Lucifer, at the time, his heaven name was Lucifer. So once he sinned and was evicted from heaven, cast into the earth, he became Satan. Satan means the accuser of the brethren, right? That place was, hell was his ultimate, destination, right? Like, so after, after the end times happens and Jesus comes back into the earth and is reigning, reigning for 1,000 years and that sort of thing, then, the devil will be placed in, in hell. And then he will then again be released from hell for a time. And then he will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. So, but these are real places. These are not fictitious places. So what I also believe is that obviously that God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and Holy Spirit, all are real as well, right? It's, all are God, and that it's like three separate persons operating as one. So it's three in one. So you have God the Father, you have God the Son. He's a triune being. So God the Father, God the Son, and then God Holy Spirit. And they all have different roles and functions, so to speak, but they all are God. And, you know, and so Jesus was both divine, meaning having deity, being God, but he also was man, but he was sinless man. So he was very different from, you know, you and I. But then while he was here on the earth, he could, you know, feel and experience all of the things that we could feel and experience. But then, but he also had all authority to cast out demons, to heal, you know, heal people, to raise raise people from the dead. He had all of that. And then when he ascended, right before he ascended back into heaven, he said that he would give, you know, all of that to us, right? And so in Luke 10, 19, it says, like when all of the disciples had gone out, right, and he had given them assignments and had also delegated power to them to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick so that they would recover, and also to raise those from the dead. So he had given them all of these different powers, right? He had delegated certain authority to them while he was even still here on earth. And so then they come back and they're super excited and they're like, wow, Jesus, like, we were able to do all of these great things. And when Jesus's response was, you know, he was like, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And he was like, but I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, meaning demonic entities. I give you all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he also gave us that, but he also said, he told the disciples, listen, don't even rejoice that you were able to do all of those kinds of things, cast out demons and heal the sick and all of that. Don't rejoice at that, but rejoice that your name has been written in heaven. So heaven is a real place. It is. And then, you know, one of the things when I was teaching this to my grandson, was teaching him about that there are three heavens. So God, the first heaven is like the atmospheric heaven where, you know, airplanes fly and birds can ascend into that realm as well. The atmospheric heaven that we can see. But then there's the second heaven in which we cannot see. And that's where principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's where all of that, that's that whole second heaven where those entities are ruling from. And then you have the third heaven, which is where God the Father and Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father with a great cloud of witnesses, where your loved ones, my loved ones who were in the faith, once they passed on, they're in, you know, their spirit and soul is there. Right. And so which is why, like, we know this to be certain because one, Paul speaks of it in the Bible. But also, you know, when you try to pray. And you're praying, and so you're trying to get your prayer. And then we often say, especially, you know, if you have a older person in your family, like a grandparent or auntie or meemaw, what have you, who could, we would often say, oh, she know how to get a prayer to heaven, right? So there is, and meaning that there is a level of opposition that comes against you when you try to get your prayer to God, because it's going into, your prayer has to get from where you are on earth, where you're speaking, into the atmospheric heaven that you can see, but beyond that, into that second heaven where demonic entities are operating from. And then it has to get to the third heaven. And so then if it's able to get all the way to the third heaven where God is, and then that message has to come back down, right? So now it's coming from third heaven through that demonic entity level of second heaven to now get back to you. And so we're going to be, you know, in future episodes, we'll talk more. We'll go into a little bit more detail, but just to keep it simple for now, I believe that there is a heaven and a hell. that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are real. But then I also believe that we have a very real enemy, because you can't believe that God is real and that Jesus is real and Holy Spirit is real and not believe that there is a devil and demons operating. And so we have a very real enemy. And in John 10:10, Jesus is talking and he says, the thief, and I believe it first talks about the good shepherd, like he being the good shepherd versus a hireling, people who appear to be, leaders in churches, but really they're operating as wolves in sheep's clothing. So you don't necessarily know who, because they know how to wrap it up very well. And you don't necessarily know what they are all about until something pops off. Right. But Jesus says in John chapter 10, he says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have that more abundantly. So right in that passage, Jesus is telling us that we have a real enemy and he comes like a thief. And he is, you know, he can be likened unto a thief, and he has a 3-pronged agenda to steal. Whatever he can't steal from you, then he'll try to kill you, and then he'll try to destroy you. Steal, kill, and destroy. But in the midst of him stealing, killing, and trying to kill you and just trying to destroy you, he also operates in the realm of deceiving you and deception. And having you under this delusion, and having us under a delusion, and thinking that when we think that, you know, everything that comes to us, because a lot of people, you know, think, you know, you see all of these athletes and these movie stars and entertainers and people and, you know, that are leaders in these highfalutin companies, or, you know, corporation, and or who are moguls, right? And then, you know, because at one moment, they just regular people. And then overnight, like they became these overnight successes wherein, or maybe it took a year or so, 2 years, but they went from mediocre status to mammoth status, monumental status, right? And you wonder, how is that so? Well, when Jesus was on the earth, right, like the devil came and tempted him. You know, and said, you know, took him to a high place and said, you know, all of this belongs to me. This is what the devil was saying. All of this, Satan was saying, all of this belongs to me, and I will give it to you if you will bow down and worship me. So now if the devil came to Jesus, the Son of God, in that manner, he was bold enough, brazen enough, ballsy enough to come to our, you know, Lord and Savior, Jesus, God, in that manner. You know, he comes to regular people, mere mortals as you and I. He comes to us that way. And he still offers the same thing. Hey, listen, I will give you. You want to be famous? I will make you famous. You want riches? You want wealth? You want money? You want, you know, power? Oh, I can give you that. My only requirement is that you bow down to me and worship me. And so you see a lot of these, you may not see it publicly, although some of these entertainers and some of these artists, when they're at their various events, you know, and they be throwing up the signs to show their allegiance to their lowercase g god that they serve. You know, they have no problems with the little hand over the eye, you know, the one eye situation. And then they don't throw up the little diamonds, you know, the diamond hand, you know, kind of situation. And then throwing up the little Baphomet kind of hand symbols. And they're doing all of these demonic symbols to show who they are in alignment with, right? And who their lowercase g god is. So we have a real enemy. And because you can't see him doesn't make him any less real. He is very real. And you also can feel the impact of what, you know, of what he does. Like when we see really bad storms, I'm talking about these devastating, diabolical like storms that hit areas, you know, where it like touched down and it just like destroyed blocks of, you know, blocks and blocks and everything in this path. It destroyed it. Well, that is a spirit, you know, and it's a spirit, a demonic spirit that's coming from the evil one, the devil. And so we have a very, very real enemy. And so in that, the natural world that we can see, you know, we tend to like think that everything that we see is real, right? Like we got all, you know, reality TV. And as we know now, reality TV is all scripted. It's all a bunch of games. It's all a bunch of nonsense and shenanigans to get you all distracted, looking at, you know, grown-ups act very, very foolishly for a paycheck. And some of these people will do whatever, which is how, you know, the devil is real, right? And he has this kingdom, and he says, "What if you come bow down to me, I'll give you whatever you want." So you got these people on TV and on all of these different networks acting like plumb fools for money, for a paycheck, you know? So this, which is signals that their souls can easily be bought, their allegiance, their loyalty, their alliances can easily be bought with money, very easily. And so the natural world is, the spiritual world, let me say it this way, the spiritual world is more real than the natural world that you and I operate in. So just because we can't see demonic, you know, some people have the ability to see spirits. They can actually see them, you know, and like little kids and animals, like my dog, I know he sees something all the time because he'll get up and he'll be like, you know, nothing's happening out of nowhere. He just start taking off running. So, and I tend to believe it's angels. And so, because devils are not welcome in my house at all. but the spirit world is very real. It's very, very real. The devil has a whole army. Like he knows how God operates because he was in heaven, and he knows that God operates according to a certain order. Like there's no chaos in heaven. There's no chaos in God. There's a certain order that God has, and he has a hierarchy of spirit beings, right? Just like he has a hierarchy here on the earth within us with human beings, right? Like we're all at different levels in God. Like some people are, you know, great, are giants in the faith, right? Like they've been walking with the Lord, not so much about them walking with the Lord a really long time, which makes them a giant, but how much of how deep of a relationship and how personal of a relationship they have with the Lord, that the Lord calls them by name. And he'll do that with all of us, really, if we would take the time, devote the time to having a personal relationship with him, to sacrifice something of ourselves, to spend more time with him. You know, he's no different. God is no different. You know, how we relate to him is no different than how we would relate to an individual that we can, you know, we see in this natural world. It's no different. The same way you would take time to spend time, like when you're getting to know a person, right, you're going to be hanging out with them, going, you know, maybe going out, you know, to eat, going to different activities. You're going to spend time on the phone. You're going to spend time in their person, like one-to-one, talking to them, getting to know them and that sort of thing. So God wants the same thing from us, for us to spend time. And a great way for us to get to know God is by reading his word, the Bible, because we see his character. We see how God moves. We see how God speaks. We see God's ways of thinking. You know, and I mean, because he says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Just as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are his thoughts to our thoughts and his ways to our ways. So we will never fully, completely in this lifetime know all of God's ways and thoughts, because he is so much higher than us. He's infinite and we are finite. We are very, very limited. This flesh limits us in a lot of ways, you know. And so, but the spirit world is very real, and you do have a very, you know, a real enemy. And you have three enemies in particular. Your enemy is not your kids. Your enemy is not your wife or your husband. Your enemy is not your mom or dad. Your enemy is your flesh, first and foremost, because this flesh wants what it wants. And a lot of times it's opposite of what God wants for us. So you have this flesh enemy. Then you have the world, the outside world, who is constantly, you know, pushing you and prodding you and kind of forcing you into, and peer pressuring you into doing a bunch of things as well. You know, got to be out there running, 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 trying to chase that almighty dollar. And God is like, chase me. Don't chase no money. Chase me. He was like, you know, one of the things the Lord had taught me some time ago is work on my vertical relationship with him, and the horizontal relationships will work themselves out. But a lot of times we spend so much time on our horizontal and feeding our flesh and making sure we got the latest and greatest. And we, you know, we pushing this and then because I'm pushing, you know, this range or whatever it is, I'm pushing this Benz, I'm pushing this Beamer. I got to go and I got to beautify it all the time. I got to be out at the car wash all the time, making sure it look good. I got to go, you know, be driving, you know, places. And so I have no time for God. I'm constantly on the go, constantly on the move. So the world will have you chasing after a bunch of stuff, just like your flesh will have you chasing after a bunch of things. But then your third enemy, obviously, is the devil and all his workers of iniquity. And so the devil, any demon is a spirit being, you know, and so, but it needs a body, a human body to operate in. And the demonic entities can come upon anybody. You know, you having a bad day, you decide, like, normally you wouldn't even be cussing nobody out, but you had this bad day, you were sitting in traffic and you know, you angry, angry, angry. And the first person you see is, I don't know, whomever, you know, and you just let them have it. You like them a new one, right? For no apparent reason. That was a demonic entity of anger that came upon you, right? So demons, the spirit realm, like I'm saying, is very, very real. It's nothing to play with. It's something that I think people should start understanding more and seek understanding through the word of God. Not out here, you know, going into all of these angel numbers and sage burning and Ouija boards and tarot card readings and going to, you know, the psychics and all of that. No, seek God through his word and begin to, you know, develop conversation, having conversation with him, you know. And so one of the other things, another thing that I believe is that we must be born again. You know, a lot of people think that because they believe in Jesus, that's enough. But Jesus himself says we must be born again. He says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he repeats himself, unless one is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So first, you can't even see it if you ain't born again. Then you can't even enter into the kingdom of God if you're not born again. Because, I mean, to believe is one thing. That's great. In fact, the word says in James chapter 2, it says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. So you do well to believe that there is one God. And that's good. It's good that you believe that. But even it goes on to say that passage of scripture goes on to say, but even the demons, you know, believe and tremble. So they also believe in God. It's not that they don't. Again, like I said, they were in heaven. They know God is very real. They know that God's justice and God's judgment, as well as God's unconditional love for human beings, is very real. You know, God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world to save the world. That's how much he loved us. He didn't send, you know, Jesus to save demons, fallen angels. He didn't do that, but it was for us human beings. So the Bible says we must be born again. And so that is something that I believe, that you can, you know, believing that Jesus is God, believing that there is God, believing that there is a heaven is good, but it's not enough, because Jesus said you must be born again. And so when you're born again, all of that old stuff, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you are born again, you know, like, of course, none of us remember going through our mother's birth canal. None of us remember that, you know, and it's probably a good thing. It's probably a very traumatic thing as a baby to have to go through that small hole, looking at our heads and our arms and shoulders and having to go through that hole. So it's probably a good thing that our memory doesn't go back that far, that the Lord was so good to us to do that. But it says we must be born again. So that means we must become new. All of that old stuff that we were doing, it should fall off of us, because there was nobody that came in contact with Jesus when he was walking the earth that remained the same. Nobody. You know, everybody changed. And if you want to understand more of that, I want to challenge you to pull out your Bible and get you a Bible that you can understand. I like the New King James Version, but there are many people who can understand and read the King James Version. And some people read the Message. You know, I think the Message is a good Bible for from a standpoint of when I'm riding in the car and I just want to hear it in a storytelling kind of way, it's great. But when I'm studying, I want to study the Word, how it was written. So I'm a New King James Version kind of a reader. And so what I would encourage you to do is to go get a Bible. And if you can't afford one, if you don't have one, let me know. Shoot me a message. You can email me at yourfirstlove@proton.me. So it's your is you are first is the number one ST. So you are the number one STLUV. So your first love at proton, proton.me, ME, Mary Edward. So if you email me, I will get you a Bible. That a study Bible that you can understand and read. But so that's it. So we must be born again. They're not the same. So believing is one thing, but you must be born again. And so some people make being, you know, think that being born again is some boring experience, and it's the best thing ever to be in fellowship, to be in right relationship with the God over all creation, who created everything that has, will, and ever be. God created it. He knows your today. He knows your tomorrow. He knows your forevermore. He knows everything that you have experienced, will experience, or can experience. Why would you not want to be in relationship with him? To live apart from an all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God, such as the God in heaven, is futile. You're wasting time. You just straight up are wasting time. And you're going to get to some point in your life and realize, I wasted a whole lot of time. Biggest regret you will ever have is not coming to the Lord sooner. Not taking forever thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then once I get myself together, then I'm going to come to the Lord. You will never come, because you don't have the ability to get yourself together. You do not. You do not. And then you have, like I said, you got three enemies that's going to constantly keep coming at you and prevent you from coming to the Lord. That's going to be a constant fight. So you just have to make up in your mind, like, today is the day that I'm going to serve God. Today is the day that I'm going to come to the Lord. And it's very, easy to do. You know, it's very, very easy to do. All you got to do is stop right now and repeat this after me. And just say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a savior. Come into my life, live in me and through me. I ask you for your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive my sins. I repent. Show me and when I say I repent, I mean, I'm going to turn away from doing what I was doing and I'm going to serve you. Take my life, Lord, and do something with it. Now, if you say something like that, I mean, you don't need to go into a church building per se. You can do it right here. God is all around us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us all the time, and his ears can hear. In fact, the word says that his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth to seeking those he can be strong on behalf, that have not become disloyal to him, who are loyal towards him. So his eyes are going to and fro throughout the entire earth, seeking someone he can be strong on behalf, who is loyal towards him. He's not asking for a whole lot, not asking you to get yourself together, because he knows you can't get yourself together. And in fact, God will accept you. Jesus accepts you just as you are. All he asks is that when you come to him with a pure heart, confess your sins before him, and then day by day, he's going to start, making you new. stuff is going to start falling off of you. The things you think that you got to have and got to do become not that important, you know? I guarantee you, any rich person, like I guarantee you, like a Michael Jackson, who had, you know, big money, but in the end, he was very, very sick, right? I guarantee you, he would have gladly given up all of that money to be healthy. I guarantee you. He would not have wanted his life to go down, to go out the way it did, having three young kids. I guarantee you that man wanted to see his kids grow up and be older than him. I guarantee it. And that goes for anybody. So, I'm going to close with this, that, you know, the last thing that I believe is that, and I believe many other things, but I'm going to just close it so this doesn't become too long, but personal relationship with God the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son, and Holy Spirit is vital, is critical. You know, you need that more than you need breath in your bones, in your lungs, more than you need air in your lungs, more than you need blood in your body. You need a personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, in the later episodes, we'll talk more about kind of, the three in one, right? And like the function of each, because they all, you know, are different personalities. They're all one. They're all God, but they're seen differently. Just like if I were to talk to you, like, so for me, I am a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a grandmother, you know, I'm a friend. And so it looks different. How I relate to each one of those individuals is very different. So, you know, so we'll talk more about that. So thank you all for your time today. And I hope to talk to you again soon. And so as I close, my question to you is, will you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life and commit to having a relationship and starting your own personal relationship with him? That's
Until next time, thank you for hanging out and listening to the E&L.